I'm Joe Exotic, and today this is not going out to any kind of a presidential candidate or any politician, because the purpose of this video today is to let you know who I am. First thing is, I am not cutting my hair. I'm not changing the way I dress. I refuse to wear a suit. I am gay. I've had two boyfriends most of my life. I currently got legally married, thank God. It's finally legal in America. I've had some kinky sex. I have tried drugs through the younger years of my life. I am broke as shit. I have a judgment against me from some bitch down there in Florida, but I can tell you I paid a fine with the USDA, and that is nothing but a civil fine, ladies and gentlemen. That does not mean that I was accused or convicted of any kind of animal cruelty thing. I built one of the biggest facilities and the nicest facilities for exotic animals in this country as far as a private individual goes. I'm Joe Exotic, and don't forget, I am now stepping my foot in the ring to run for president. And this is all paid for by the committee of Joe Exotic Speaks for America.
Everyone, have a nice day.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I think there was, at the very end of Amy Lawrence's show, a Sarge call, I believe.
All I know is that our listeners, they are just spreading all over the place. They are infecting all of the different shows. All day yesterday, you had people who usually will call our show, and when I say usually, some of the stranger callers or better callers. And what's great is when you hear how other shows deal with those people.
There was a dilly call in the middays, wasn't there?
There may have been.
I thought I heard that on the way home.
Yeah, there might have been.
All right, dilly, hello.
That's right.
I'm not dilly.
So hearing how other shows handle...
I'm with the dilly.
It is somewhat a treasure to behold. On top of that, the night show apparently had some regular callers.
12,000 times?
Or maybe not even regular callers, but people...
Dilly called in both shows?
No. Dilly did not call into the night show. No. We had somebody call into the night show and say something about a certain member of this radio station, and they didn't quite know how to handle it.
Oh, the Sarge thing?
Maybe, possibly. We will explore some of those, I think, later on.
Okay.
But it's just when Toucher and Rich regulars attack, I've learned that... There's a tact that I think these people at the rest of the station don't quite understand, like how to deal with that. And it's okay. Funny, to be quite honest. It's
all right, a gladiator. I would like to hear it.
Yeah, we will do that. We will do that later on.
All right. In all seriousness, this is something that people, according to social media, care about, and it has to be rectified soon. I put a picture up of myself and Bob Uhr. It was liked, you know, thousands of times. But then in the comments, it was all, when's this bike being put together? Now, I've talked about this. I bought a GT Performer. I watched an episode of Falls Sunny in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
They bought BMX bikes. So I said, I'm going to get a freestyle bike, but I don't have the proper tools to put it together. Young Nicholas has said that he could put it together. Now, we've been delaying it, and, you know, he's been like, I can come by and do it, but then he's doing something else for the show, and I say, don't worry about it. But this has to get paid off this week. And Young Nicholas keeps changing things and saying he wants to bring the bike in. And
see, I'd like that. Like,
but the thing is, I can't fit it in anything that I own.
But he can, right? Yeah, he could go to your house, pick it up, fix it. See, I would like the presentation on air. I think it would be great if he actually brought it in studio.
All right, how am I going to get it home then?
He could drop it off. It's his car. So he'll pick it up.
Your car can fit a bike.
I think most cars can fit a bike.
My car certainly could not.
No, you're right. You're right. Your car probably couldn't. But if you, but Nick's could. So.
All right.
I think that's how you do it. And then you present it on air and maybe you do some in-studio sweet jumps.
Oh, here you go.
You do some in-studio, like, freestyling.
Okay, I will do that. Nick, can you pick up the bike today?
Okay.
All right.
Can you bring it tomorrow? Can we have Freestyle Thursday?
Yes.
See, that would be the best.
Okay.
All right.
We'll do that tomorrow.
We'll make a makeshift, like, cool bike course inside
right.
the studio.
Right after the show, Nick, this is when I can do it. I can do it. My mom's coming to town today. I can do it right after the show.
Okay.
All right, so that's going to get done. So tomorrow will be Freestyle Thursday, where I take Beasley and I put it on its. They go, what are these guys up to?
Who are these renegades?
They go, I didn't sign up for this.
See, that's what you have to do. I mean, I have a feeling there's some boxes around here. We got a couple of pieces of wood. Maybe like a couple 2x4s.
Well, I figure just like some wheelies and endos. You could jump bunny hops.
How about you could jump over Wallach lying down?
Oh yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. Sure.
Remember jumping over the Snake River Canyon?
No.
You could jump over the Gap.
I don't know. Gap isn't as large as it used to be. I don't know how much of a challenge that's going to be.
He's so proud.
That's what you got to do.
He's so proud of his Invisalign.
Damn right.
How about we do that? Walk lies on the floor. We get a ramp going on either side.
Not a chance. Jump over
the John Wallach Canyon, the Snake River Canyon, and Wallach's teeth.
I'll jump a ramp, but I'm not going to land on a ramp.
No.
Well, you don't have to. You can just land, and you just got to launch over Wallach.
Yeah, I'll do that.
I think that's what we do.
Yeah.
I think there's enough room. I think you have enough room.
I mean, how bad would it even hurt if I landed on him?
A lot.
No, it wouldn't.
I think a lot is the answer.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's like he's going to be like super fast where the momentum's, going to crush your ribs or something.
I don't. Well, I'd have to do that in the hall. A lot of what I'm going to, a lot of what I need requires not all the space, but, I can boogie out in the lobby. So that's what will happen. I wish I had racing clothes, like freestyle clothes that they used to wear, like tight pants and racing shirt.
Maybe on the way home I could stop by, what's that one that's over on Beacon Street? I could stop by the bike shop and just get you at least like some cool gloves or something.
Yeah, because I don't want any of those 10-speed outfits. You know what I'm saying? I don't want the Tour de France.
Mm-hmm.
I want something that says Red Line or, says... like an Eddie Fieri or whatever the hell the guy's name is. I forgot what his name is.
Eddie Fieri.
Eddie, who's the big guy? Eddie Fierro. Just you had the Haro Trickster, which was like the creme de la creme of freestyle bikes.
Okay. I'll try to see if we can, just enough to where you look like a real smooth biker, but also that it doesn't break the bank. I get you for under $50.
Oh, please, yes. there's no question that I gotta get going there. So yeah, tomorrow. Okay, so it is. There it is. Tomorrow.
Nick? Can we do that? He says yes. Okay, so you're gonna pick up his bike, you're gonna put it together, and then tomorrow you're gonna keep it in your car until the time of the presentation is right, and then at 8:00 it's gonna be Freestyle Thursday. And where he's going to do some sweet tricks and jump John Wallach here in studio.
Now, I hope the ladies around here are ready because it's going to be a stunt show. The legs have never been seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bunny hop anything. Wall rides.
Do the wall rides in here? I like it.
The studio, I can't really boogie down, and I can do some sweet, ground tricks. But there's really no room. They've stacked this place with 5,000 monitors. So I don't know how I can get around there, but...
There's a guy here with a broken leg on a scooter that you could race.
Oh, that's a good point.
You guys can drag race down the hallway.
Right.
Oh, please. I'd beat anybody on foot. It'd be funny if you had Wiggins come and try to run with the bad boy.
Well, he'd want to.
Mm-hmm. Let the big dog eat. That's what they say about me. Freddie Fierro. That's what they're going to do.
For some reason, it's the only song I think about when... Hey, okay, where is it? Right here. This is a...
That's Kenny Loggins. Caddyshack 2, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, this is about the arrows.
Caddyshack 2. Yeah.
Yeah. I can go with it.
Sweet jump after sweet jump.
Yeah.
Woo! I ain't nobody's fool. All right, John, so you got that? I'm going to jump you. I'm going to bunny hop you tomorrow.
I'm not seeing that. I do not trust the fact that you're going to stick the landing and I'm going to get hurt. That's the way I see it.
Stick the landing. It's just a bunny hop.
All right.
Somebody said ask James Stewart to get Fred a bowling shirt with skulls on it. I'm sure he can get one.
Yeah.
So we said do it Friday and make it Freestyle Friday. No, Freestyle Thursday just sounds better. It rolls out the tongue.
But, I mean,
Freestyle
you could
Friday,
do
a, what is that?
You could do alliteration, but we got to get this over with. Because, like, every comment under the Bobby Orr thing was, like, when are you getting this bike?
Well, tomorrow.
All right, well... There it is.
Somebody said, I'm sure Chucky Bakes is excited about Freestyle Thursday.
Maybe he could do his victory speech here.
I was thinking of Jackie Mason in his multicolored suit whenever I hear this.
Oh, sure. And him, like, falling into the pool. Hey, yeah. What are you doing here? Chucky Bakes, what do you think about all this?
It was awesome.
All right, cool.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet, baby. All right, so there it is.
Sweet!
Tomorrow is Freestyle Thursday. Knock it out in the hallway. Knock it out. Keep the lights off.
Keep the lights off?
Yeah, I might wear some glowing stuff. And all you see is... All you see is just green, like, trails.
You bring in a smoke machine?
Do whatever you want.
How about a smoke machine and a few laser pointers?
Just to kind of laser pointers.
Yeah, just to make it look like a real spectacle.
I see.
You don't have to dress up magnificence. So that's happening tomorrow. It's very refreshing. All right, Rich. We're going to do what happened last night. What happened last evening?
Oh, well, you knew that a punishment was coming for Kyrie Irving. How dare he throw that basketball into the crowd? And also some moves the Patriots made yesterday that are somewhat interesting.
We will have all that for you, even though it's just really a countdown until 8 o'clock tomorrow. You'll see what I can do. It's going to blow everybody's mind.
It was awesome!
Rich. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Danny at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, what happened last night is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day it is, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you can get 2 for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts. Go twos. Participation may vary. Well, we all knew a punishment was coming.
Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
Oh, I guarantee he will.
No.
Nope. Murray offensive end. Now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good, and that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at it, and he's barking back, and now we got some issues here after the game.
How about Kyrie is saying right now? What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act, and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd. I don't know if that's a souvenir, but it's going to cost Kyrie some money as he is escorted off the floor. The final score, Denver 115, Boston 107.
So less than 24 hours after Kyrie Irving threw that basketball into the stands so Jamal Murray couldn't keep it to commemorate his career-high game, which, by the way, it seemed like the players confirmed yesterday. That's why it was done. That's amazing. Imagine scoring like 48 points in like your second year and saying, I want to keep that ball. That's fairly sad, but that seemed to be.
Oh, so he did want to keep the ball.
Yes.
Very
sad. That is, according to several members of the Celtics, they believed he would have wanted to have kept that ball. So the NBA slapped a fine.
That is sad.
That is horribly sad.
I mean, you were a high pick. I mean, you're just beginning your second year in the NBA.
I'm thinking you scored more than 48 points in a game in your life. And 48 points. We were talking about this yesterday. If you're an NBA player, haven't you advanced beyond the painting on the basketball, the number of points and the score? Haven't you advanced by that in your life?
Well, plus the way the NBA's played today, I mean, that's not the strangest thing in the world.
No, how many people have done that just this season?
Well, like Klay Thompson did it, right?
Klay Thompson did it. Steph Curry did it. Devin Booker did 70, right?
I know. He scored 70 on the Celtics, but did he keep the basketball after the game was over?
I would have. If he scored 70, that's different.
Obviously, that's different. But my point is, if Booker kept the basketball, that's one thing. But I don't remember him doing that.
He may not have. No, you're right. Know. That's actually a great point. If he doesn't keep the ball, then why the hell should somebody who scored 48 keep the ball?
A random 48-point game in November? Really? All right.
I mean, people score, 40-plus points in games.
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
A lot.
It's not crazy, yeah.
But the damage sent Kyrie's way, $25,000. Doesn't that seem a bit steep for chucking a basketball into the stands at a basketball game?
Yes.
Either way.
There's a liability, I would imagine.
Oh, come on. It's a basketball. It's not a hockey puck.
Hey, look, you never know, and I'm betting that the NBA wants to nip that in the bud. Don't throw anything in the stands, water bottle, basketball, anything.
Well, you're allowed to throw baseballs into the stands. And that would hurt certainly a lot more than a dumb basketball.
Yeah, but there's a big net. You have to lob it over. You can't
just throw it in the outfield. Just toss in the outfield. You throw it to the guy,
They play catch with kids before games.
That's true.
Yeah, the liability issue I'm not buying. It's a professionalism issue, I would imagine.
And he chucked it, up. I mean, so what if it comes in and bonks you in the head? How bad
concussion.
Is
it? I don't think it had anything to do with the crowd safety. No. I think it had everything to do with what they perceive as a lack of sportsmanship.
Sure. Well, either way, Kyrie was asked about the fine, and he's still pretty BS about the whole situation.
Well deserved. There's a sense of professionalism that you have to uphold within this league, and I failed to do so, take full responsibility for it, obviously. In the event anyone gets hurt, I'm taking full responsibility for it. So, you just don't want to have situations like that. But, in the competition and competitive standpoint, I think he absolutely deserves it.
So he even said later on, he added on to, he goes, I felt disrespected after the game, so your career high ball goes into the stands. Which, God bless him. I mean, that made it funnier. The fact that Jamal Murray more than likely wanted that ball, that makes it 10 times funnier. Well, maybe now we're learning why the Celtics lost on Monday. And that's because they got a pregame meeting and pep talk with Papa John's best friend, Mr. Peyton Manning. Yeah. Apparently, Manning had shown or has known Brad Stevens since their days at Butler, and he met with the Celtics at their team hotel at a before the pregame shoot-around on Monday. Brad Stevens seems pretty pumped about the entire situation.
He was nice enough to come over and watch some film. He's one of the better film watchers I've ever been around. He was probably on us last night for a couple of our miscues, but it was great to have him around. And he did some back and forth questions wise, but we didn't want to put him on the spot. It was good to see him. I've known him since he was in Indy. He's been a good friend of mine, and pretty special to get the opportunity to get a chance to know Peyton when I lived in Indy and now Brady in New England. I mean, it's about as good as it gets.
Well, I wonder if Papa John was mustache and sunglasses in the back of the room, just going and then they went on to the plastic to practice for, and he was just chucking up threes. Who's this dude with the mustache and glasses? He could play in the league.
I think that Peyton Manning is not wanting to be associated with Papa John's even before he got in that trouble using the N-word. I think before that, the relationship had gone sour, and Papa John's was the scorned ex-girlfriend who's he's Stacy from Wayne's World still wanting to, you love me, I know you do, and Peyton Manning didn't want anything of it.
Well, there can only be one alpha.
Yeah.
And when you get two studs going, it's combustible.
Well, the quotes coming out of the Celtics locker room are going to make some New Englanders pretty upset, so cover your ears if you don't think you can take it. Marcus Smart said, quote, to hear from one of the greatest to ever play the sport of football, one of the greatest athletes, he knows what it takes to be a champion. Well, he said it was good to have that talk and at least have an appearance from it was really good. Well, at least Marcus Smart hedged his bets by saying, quote, one of the greatest, unlike Marcus number two, Marcus Morris, who shared a photo of himself with Manning on Instagram after the meeting. The caption, a goat emoji. Unforgivable. You can't do that. There's only one goat, and he sells bags of nuts for $12 at TV12.com. Get the hell out of the Boston,
well,
you Sarge.
You know, some people, you know, it's like, I'll tell you, it's like Manning's the Larry Flint of quarterbacks. Right?
So Larry Flint?
Yeah, he sells food for the common man, and right. Brady is the Bob Guccione.
Right.
Who, you know, opens up Omni Magazine, a science magazine, like he's not a smut peddler.
No. Mm-hmm. And then there's Benedict Arnold, Jaylen Brown, who said that he considers Manning his second favorite player ever at the position. The first, not Tom Brady, but Michael Vick. How dare you grow up in Atlanta and like Michael Vick? By the way, there was an episode of Atlanta that had a scene that was apparently based on a real-life thing that Michael Vick used to do. Apparently, he used to get drunk outside of the strip club and every once in a while go outside and race people on foot coming out of the club for cash. He would just challenge people. He would get loaded and go, I'm going to race you. And so everyone would be like, oh, yeah, look at this guy. He's drunk. He's raced six people already. He's exhausted. And they would put their money down. He would kill them. And he would just, like, collect people's money all night. And there'd be a big crowd outside the strip club of people watching Michael Vick race people for cash.
Okay. depending on the stakes, I'd do that just to say I raised Michael Vick.
I think you would do it for like hundreds of dollars.
No, then I wouldn't do that. No. What I would do is I'd get on the GT Performer and just outraise him.
Yeah, so the scene from Atlanta is that, you know, the guy, I forget what his name is, the one who's Childish Gambino comes walking out of the club and he's been drinking. And there's a huge crowd and he goes, what is this? He goes, Michael Vick, once again, he's racing people for cash. And he sees Michael Vick and his eyes are all red and bloodshot. And he goes, yeah, he's raced 10 people already. And he's like, I got this. And you see him like take out like $200 and him look at Michael Vick. And the way that they edited it is it goes like, it's like a stop motion, like it's the end of a show. And then both taking off at the same time. And the very next scene, he's sitting in the back of a limo and with his girlfriend. And there's like silence. He goes, he's Michael Vick, you know. So apparently that is something that he was known to do. And I'd heard about that even back in the day. Just get drunk and do that.
Yeah. I remember when they traded. I remember exactly where I was when they traded for the first pick. I was headed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with Axel and Crash. And Crash brought about 45 beers for the ride to the airport.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which I don't know how he planned on consuming more than a couple, but there you had it, right there.
It is truly amazing how, like, a lot of men will realize, like, you know, with the Michael Vick thing, you know, he did his time, and there's a lot of men who will be like, okay, so he went to jail, it was awful what he did with the dogs. Like, women will never forgive him. Like, you just mentioned Michael Vick, they might know nothing about football, but they know of the dog thing, and it's amazing how they will never, all the women I know, you just mentioned Michael Vick, it's like, I'll never forgive the guy. Even if he went to jail and did his time and did all that thing, men are way more forgiving for some reason when it comes to Michael Vick than women are. They'll never forget.
Well, people a lot of times care more about dogs than they do about people.
Well, I told you that when my wife worked for Turner, where she used to edit TV shows and movies for TBS, TNT, Cartoon Network, and things like that, there were certain guidelines of things, obviously, you can show and you can't show on TV. One of the strangest rules was that you could show somebody running around on fire, but you couldn't show an animal on fire. Like, if there was a movie where it was like a Western or something, and there was a big fight down in the corral and there was fire everywhere and a horse caught on fire and there was a guy, you could not show that on television. Yeah. But a person you could see running around smoldering to their death,
right,
and everyone would be fine with that.
Yeah, there's no question. All right, Rich, what else are we going to talk about?
The Patriots make some interesting moves. On top of that, Mike Vrabel speaks out about how bad Malcolm Butler has been. And says something that kind of makes you raise an eyebrow as far as what they actually think of how competent this guy is. You're stuck with him for a while, my friend.
Yeah.
You just signed him for a big-ass deal, so you got to figure out a way to make him work.
All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Second and 10 as Cooper just looks on.
That wasn't pretty. So the Patriots take on Mike Vrabel and his Tennessee Titans this weekend. As anyone who's watched more than 5 minutes of Titans football can attest, Malcolm Butler has been absolutely terrible this year. After starting the first 5 weeks of the season, Butler has trailed starters Logan Ryan and Adoree Jackson in snaps the past three games. So ever since he left New England, he's been awful, allowing the fourth most yards amongst all cornerbacks this year per Football Focus. He also got burned by Amari Cooper, and that one right there against Allen Hurns for touchdowns on Monday night, the Hurns one being the worst case of ankle breaking I have seen in a while. That wasn't a case where it was like one of these 50-yard sprints and he just got outrun. That was like a 20-yard dink right over his head after he juked one way. I think Butler like fell down and had to hold onto his hand. Yeah. And then immediately Hurns goes to his left and it was just like, whoop. It was like a basketball shot to him.
Well, we might understand what the problem is, Rich. His focus might have been elsewhere.
All right, so let's get to that. Could you pull up Wallach's thing? I want to play this here. So yesterday, Coach Vrabel first confirmed that despite Malcolm not being demoted, they're going to be concentrating on how to make him more effective. Here is Coach Mike Vrabel.
When you play man coverage, you have to look at your man, and you know Malcolm knows that, and we've talked about that, and we continue to practice it, we continue to coach it, and we try to show it to him. When he does that, it's pretty good. It's competitive. He challenges the receivers, and then you know when you look back at the quarterback, your man has a tendency to go in another direction.
Okay, so I got it. So what he's saying there is that we need to have him pay attention to the receiver.
Yeah, see, the key is when you play man to man to look at the guard, you look at the guy you're covering, and not the quarterback, because if you don't do that, then the receiver could make a sharp cut and you might lose track of him.
Right,
he had learned that already.
He's reading the quarterback's eyes and he's trying to make big plays.
You know what's amazing? Malcolm Butler was really good for a long time. And I know that there's a bad taste in people's mouth, obviously near the end of the season, and people, you know, a lot of people are justifying why he was benched. But I mean,
crazy.
Well, of course it's crazy.
I mean, he could have played as poorly as you possibly could, and it wouldn't have changed the outcome of that game.
I guarantee you he would have made that tackle instead of Johnson Batamosi in the Super Bowl.
It's crazy that the Patriots could have won if he was in there?
No, it's crazy that is. I said...
Oh, that they're justifying it. Yeah, I'm with you.
Because I said, even if he played as poorly as he's playing right now...
It would still have made a difference.
It would have changed... It's not like they would have... They performed better because he wasn't in, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, so when you take a look at him now, I'm just trying to figure out what has changed. Because I don't know if it's effort. It sounds to me as if, according to Mike Vrabel, he's trying to say it's technique. And I understand, as the coach, I can see him trying to take the blame off of Malcolm Butler. But they're stuck with this guy for a long time.
Well, if he's saying that he's not paying attention to the receiver and he's trying to read the quarterback's eyes, he's trying to do too much. He's trying to make a big play all the time.
Well, I know that we had Jeff Howe on yesterday, and he thinks that there was pressure for him to get a big contract while he was here with the Patriots, but now it's a different type of pressure, and that's to live up to the contract. And to that I say, maybe that's the case, or maybe it's that he just got paid and feels that he doesn't have to try as hard anymore.
He's stuck in Tennessee for at least three seasons, the way his contract's structured.
Oh, yeah. Well, either way, it's good. But here's the thing. I also think that it's entirely possible that this game against the Patriots is going to be the one game that he's going to play his ass off and like have like two interceptions.
He can play however hard he wants to. If he's still trying to make home run plays, and I think the Patriots will figure out a way to make him look bad.
No, well, the reason I think that is this is going to be an I'll show you game. This is, you know, for you not paying me and you
on
not keeping me on
sides.
The team.
On both sides, not just his side, on both sides. Yeah. You don't think Belichick will say, you know what, we're going to figure out a way to line up Josh Gordon across from you.
Yeah, that's
and
good
we're
going
to try and make you look bad. So that I don't have to deal with all this crap about why I benched you. it's not just a show-me game for Butler. I have a feeling the Patriots have some things to prove also.
Well, the Patriots look to add some depth at safety by agreeing to terms with Obi Melanfanwa, who was released by the Oakland Raiders last month.
He's friends with Yoda.
Yoda Melanfanwa?
Obi.
Melanfanwa.
Obi-Wan.
He's friends with Yoda.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't think...
Kenobi.
That's right. Okay. Obi-Wan.
Friends with Yoda.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
6'4" and 224 pounds. Oh, the muscles are strained from reaching. He drew the attention to scouts.
Obi.
Yes, he was excellent at the 2000.
Taught Luke.
Yeah.
He did.
Taught him the force.
Taught the ways of the force. Yep. He reached 11.9 in the broad jump at the 2017 combine.
How in the world did you...
Wait. He ran 4.4 in the 40-yard dash.
Hold on.
Trying to find anything on this
broad
guy.
Broad jump? You're really going to bring that out right now? Broad
when
you jump?
You reach 11.9 in the broad jump. You mentioned it, bitch.
Okay, great. You can jump across a moat if you're storming a castle. Good for you.
But could he ride a bike over John Wallach's teeth? That's the one thing we're going to find out.
I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah. So he comes from the Raiders. And by the way, Dez Bryant may soon have a new team from what we are hearing. Finally, according to the NFL media, the Saints liked what they saw during a workout on Tuesday. And the two sides are currently negotiating a deal.
He's negotiated with teams before. It's not done till it's done.
No, that's true. Well,
Saints, by the way, ranked number one in the ESPN Power Rankings.
They look really, really, really good. But, however, the one thing is that you say negotiating a deal. I don't think he's ever negotiated a deal.
I think he went
to Cleveland and they...
No, they talked contract with him. They did. And ultimately said no thanks because they didn't offer him enough.
He still wants, what, $7 million a year?
There's no way.
Whatever the prorated thing would
that,
be now.
He's not getting that from New Orleans.
Well, you wouldn't think so.
Not a chance.
At this point, if you're him, this is a great move.
Having said that, watch. It'll be like a two-year, $14 million deal. But honest to God, why would New Orleans spend $7 million on Dez Bryant?
They won't. I mean, why would they? I mean, are they lacking depth at receiver?
Yes, they are. It's Thomas and a bunch of guys.
All right, so.
They need a number two.
Well, Dez Bryant, I don't know if he's going to be your number two. I mean, that's Bryant. It seems like he's just a big, slow receiver.
Originally, it was Ted Ginn, but I think Ginn's out for the season, so they need another guy.
This is great for Dez Bryant. Take whatever they offer you, man. If it's for $1 million, take it, because you've got a quarterback that's going to make you look good.
Yeah, and you might have a ticket to the Super Bowl, for God's sake.
Yeah.
If he's smart, you sign, sure. Yep.
So that seems like Dez Bryant might end up looking all right in that deal. And a big jump for Boston College in the rankings. They move from number 22 to 17.
Just in time to get killed.
Yep. Now they have to play Clemson Saturday night.
Yeah, they ain't winning that.
We got ESPN in town, right?
College game day.
Yeah, sure. If I don't see a Wallach head out there, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Josh Fowler from NBC Sports Boston sent me a text asking if there would be a Wallach head. And I figured that I have to assume that there would be several Wallach heads.
There would have to be.
I mean, now maybe Sarge heads.
Or just Sarge signs.
Yeah.
Or just Sarge. Or just jumping Sarge. Around going, hey, check my hair out. Hey.
Yep. He's looking good.
Aha. Uh-huh.
His confidence is sky high. All right. We will be back, Rich. What will we discuss?
Oh, everyone loves Mike Leach. And yesterday, Mike Leach went off on a rant about one of the stranger things that you've heard a college coach talk about. We will get to that.
All right. So be right back. Now, 5, the sports hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I am slowly losing my voice over the last couple days. Tomorrow it should be a whole situation. All right, so Rich, Mike Leach is known as one of the biggest innovators in college football. He is also one of the most interesting people. Last week, and I believe, at a tour of his office where he was pointing at things that were sort of random and explaining his obsession with them.
Like what? What were some of the things?
Maybe a dinosaur bone or something. I don't know. But there was like just random crap that he was like, he's obsessed with all this stuff.
Okay, because there is a short list of people that I am jealous that certain radio stations get like weekly interviews with. Like, you know, people that would be a joy to cover. Jerry Jones in Dallas is one of the big ones. Like if I could talk to Jerry Jones every week, that dude just says stuff and he doesn't care. And Charles Barkley is another one. Like that is a guy that if I was told I had a weekly interview with Charles Barkley, I'd be like, well, this is fantastic. It doesn't get much better than that. Mike Leach is one of those guys. And here is why. Is because not only is he the coach of the Washington State Cougars, but the man pontificates on the things the common man pontificate on. However, in this case, he sounds like a common man who is stoned out of his brains. Let's take a listen to Mike Leach talking about mascots.
Yeah, he sort of seems like the kind of guy that microdoses.
Yeah, yeah.
Like takes those that little bit of acid to keep a bunch of people in Silicon Valley. Like microdose to get like ideas, and I have a feeling that he's done that.
Tell me this doesn't sound like somebody at like 2 a.m. and you're kind of half asleep, you've been smoking or drinking, and you just start rambling. or not?
I'm not Dilly.
Dilly, what are you doing
yes,
back on?
Yes, you are.
Again with the Dilly.
Yeah, again with the Dilly, yeah.
All
that's
right,
not
hang
good...
on 1 second.
Okay, we've got to...
Let me see if
12,000 times?
Really? Is it 12,005?
All right, let me see if I can do this.
And now, the audio you've been waiting for...
Nah, it ain't working.
Someone
screwed with a bunch of crap over on my board last night.
You think it was sabotage? Did somebody actually do this on purpose?
Was Sargent yesterday?
Well,
Dan O'Brien's going to fix it. I'm telling you.
Might have been. But listen, Dan O'Brien is on the scene. It is kind of funny because, like, you know, people will come in and you have the one board that nobody else but you use. So there's no reason for anybody else to sit in that seat.
A board that Hardy says you don't need, by the way.
Fair enough. But the trash can here is full. Like, everything was... my pens were taken away. The computer that has Fox Pro was off. Okay, now there we go.
You got it? Okay.
Dan O'Brien,
ladies and gentlemen. Take it away, Mike Leach.
Their mascot is just outstanding. I mean, them and Mike the Tiger are by far the best, Matt. Butch is a better a person, a symbol, the whole thing. I'll go with that, okay? But as far as, I mean, that Buffalo and the Mike the Tiger, utterly outstanding. And then it's got the handlers. No, they're not pulling that buffalo. That buffalo's pulling them. I mean, you see these kids run beside these buffaloes, or the buffalo, and sometimes they'll wipe out or whatever. You know, I grew up in the West. What can you say? I mean, buffalo, that's one that's hard to argue with unless you have a live grizzly bear out there or something.
Washington State,
you
have a live mascot?
It'd be cool if we still did. I don't know how good mountain lions do in captivity. I'm curious, you know, if they have just a good, happy life, like the Georgia Bulldog, where they get their own hotel room and eat like a king. And I don't know how they do in captivity or how cooperative they are parading around the field. That buffalo goes pretty well wherever it wants. And then one time in college, so we're playing Air Force. The Air Force has this falcon, this trained falcon. And as the guy's got this whistle, it's, you know, you hear him blowing this whistle like crazy. That falcon's getting higher and higher and higher. Pretty soon you can't see that falcon. That falcon just left. Falcon seen all the football he wanted to see that day. A tough one to argue with. Here's the other thing people don't realize, and people on TV don't realize. That is a small, small, small buffalo. I mean, that's like a baby buffalo. And the notion that, you know, eight people are going to pull a full adult buffalo around, that'll never happen. Yeah, it's pretty cool to watch. You know, part petting zoo, part football, although I don't know if Ralphie will let you pet him.
I mean, that's a 2.5 minute rambling rant.
I thought
on mascots.
I also think it's an ingenious way to rip on. He's obviously talking about Colorado, right?
Yeah, the buffalo.
Yeah, so he's ripping on Colorado.
Have you seen? First of all,
because he's saying like, yeah, they got a cool mascot. You know, they got really cool mascot. Like, I think that's an underhanded way of dismissing their football team.
It's funny. I didn't see that. All I see is that him just being completely in awe of, like, you could see him in a moment during a game just getting away from the chaos of coaching and all everything around you and just going, man, look at that buffalo. That thing is fast. Dude, that is crazy.
Those are the press conferences you look forward to going to.
Oh, it's the best.
Yep.
You're sitting there going and first of all, he probably loves not talking about the minutiae for a minute. And he probably realizes he's getting a rise out of it. He just continues to go for like 2.5 minutes. But have you seen what they do with that buffalo? It's like three students on either side.
Yeah,
of
they
this
run with
big
it.
Ass live
up,
buffalo
onto the field. They run with the buffalo, and he's right. An adult buffalo who cares at all is going to drag those people until they fall over.
Oh, they're not. And he's right. They're not leading the buffalo. Those guys are like getting dragged.
Yeah, they're hanging on for dear life. Is what they're doing.
Has there been a buffalo accident?
There has to have been.
There must be.
There who volunteers for that duty, by the way? I'm going to run with the buffalo.
Who cleans the duty?
Who's the guy who was terrified from the Chiefs? Who was terrified of the horse?
Yeah, the horse guy.
It wasn't Eric Berry.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was Eric Berry.
Yeah, it was Eric Berry. He was the best. Because Barry, like, you know, and for decent reason. It's not like a completely irrational fear, but he, man,
no, it's pretty irrational.
I don't know. It's a big-ass horse around.
Oh, hell no. There go that horse.
he did not like the horse that runs around in the field when the Chiefs bring him out.
Oh, hell no. There go that horse. I'll wait till they got to the horse pass. I don't mess with horses, bro. Straight up. Might come over here and throw a tantrum.
Stay inside the box. Stay inside the box.
Oh. Hold up. Call that horse out there. That horse. Oh, she need to go ahead with that horse right now. I don't fool with no horses, boy. Huh? Go ahead and drive that belt away.
You don't like the horse?
Hell no. I ain't worried about the tick. I'm worried about the horse.
Eric Berry has equinophobia, the fear of horses.
Yes, he does.
Well, have you ever seen...
You're actually just playing Peyton Manning.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the videos, and it started with football players, but when they reach into the mystery box, and, like, you can see what's in the box, and they have to figure it out? Have you seen it?
With football players?
They did it with basketball.
No, I didn't see it.
It started with football players. Oh, my God, the fear. Just, like, the abject fear of touching something that you don't know what it is. It's like, Joachim Noah was one of the ones that had his head in the box.
Okay.
And the guy's feeling it. And he's like, I feel teeth. And he's not touching anything resembling teeth. And they just, like, flip out about it. Some football players have very odd phobias.
Yeah, especially seeing what they do for a living.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I told you that Sean Thornton, we were at a pediatric hospital, and he didn't want to see anyone getting blood drawn.
Right.
That it grossed him out.
That's amazing for the amount of blood he's seen in
his life. Guy who took a skate blade to the forehead.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what's happening is that the message of Sarge is growing, as is Tilly is enjoying calling the various shows.